At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to another edition of the OHIO Podcast. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there is the wild man, Chris Watts. That man over there, that's the wild, that's in the know, Silky Smooth JR. And I am under the weather, as you could probably tell with my voice. Yesterday when I recorded with Zach Guggenheim, I sounded at least halfway decent. Today, I sound awful. I didn't even go to church this morning. I was just feeling bad. And here I am tonight with the sniffles, with a voice that sounds like I could sing bass. And that would be nice, actually, you know, to sing bass, but it wouldn't. It would crack and sound awful. I will try my best to get ourselves through this tonight with the help of these two experts that are with us. Chris, JR, welcome. How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, man. It's been a crazy weekend, but I'm here. I'm ready. Let's do this.
Same here, ready. Stayed up way too late watching college football last night. I'll tell you, Big Ten after dark is a tough one on Saturday nights now. If only Oregon could just beat the team they're supposed to beat and not give me any concern.
Well, I love that they're giving you concern, man. Nothing makes me happier than seeing Oregon give you concern.
Which is fine. I just have to stay up until 2 a.m.
Doreen, stop it. You did not give me your cold. I've had this thing, been working on this thing for about a couple days, and it finally hit me good. So Doreen's in the chat with us tonight. Good to see you. Ryan Day's Beard is here. Thank you so much for being here with us, my friend. Longtime listener, Eric Osbeck is with us tonight. Good to have you with us, Eric. Donald Hoffer, another longtime listener. He's back from the days of just the audio pod. It feels real good to be a Buckeye, he said. The team up north got smoked. Notre Dame lost to NIU, and we pitched a shutout. Can we just talk about that Notre Dame loss real fast?
Only if we can bring Kennedy on to help discuss it.
Did you watch his show last night?
You know, I did not get a chance to. Like I said, I didn't roll in until about 2 o'clock this morning, so I did not get a chance to go back and watch it. But I'm just imagining there was a lot of high-pitched screaming going on.
Yeah. I think there was shock more than anything. I think he was just shocked. Marshall all over again, right? Marshall all over again. Colton Weaver's with us tonight. What's up, everyone? So sad we already have a bye week. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did like what Ryan Day said in the post-game news conference, though, when he came out and said, we're not going to treat this week like it's a bye week. We're going to go just as hard in practice like we're playing a game, then give them Friday and Saturday off, and then go right into Marshall week on Sunday. So I like that from Ryan Day.
Hey, Eric, can I just touch on something that the chat is sharing, which I've been saying forever now. How about it? Eric's question.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to go to Marcus Freeman.
How overrated is Marcus Freeman? I'm just saying. I said it before and I'll say it again. Most overrated coach out there next to maybe Coach Prime.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ryan Day's Beard, you guys ever seen the podcast Always Irish? That's John Kennedy. That's who we're talking about. Good friend of the show. Yes, he is a loose cannon. He is absolutely hilarious.
He's my hero, Eric.
C-Dub, the Michigan boards were in total meltdown last night. Not the ones that I was a part of. Not the guys on Twitter I've been going back and forth with.
Most of these guys almost acted like they expected it.
Yeah. Blue Wolverine's with us tonight to add some levity to the conversation. We appreciate that. So we are the official Ohio State podcast of Scarlet and Game. Go over to scarletandgame.com. If you don't like the way we look, well, you could always listen to the podcast, although you're probably not going to like the way I sound tonight. So it's a double whammy, as they say. We're also the official Ohio State podcast of the College Huddle. Go over to thecollegehuddle.com. JR and I have basically destroyed the internet with articles the last 4 days or so. So the College Huddle has more content than I believe. I actually looked this up. I think we beat CBS in content this week.
Wow.
Like, CBS usually gives about 3 articles a day now, I've noticed. CBS Sportsline for college. So they've got about 5 dedicated writers who write about 1 article a week. And then on Saturday, they bust out a lot. But, yeah. So College Huddle, it's where it's at, guys.
That's crazy.
Ken, you can't be overrated if you have no rating.
I will say there are Buckeye fans out there that were preparing and saying, if Ryan Day gets fired, we'll go fire Marcus Freeman. To which I say, no.
I was throwing my body in front of that from the get-go, JR.
Yeah.
From the get-go.
Yeah, not now. I was willing to give Marcus Freeman a shot, thinking that he was going to work out all those new head coach kinks in South Bend, and if he got to Columbus, he'd have all those first years taken care of, but it looks like he's not learned his lesson. Dylan Kuhn, of course, is going to jump on that Northern Illinois bandwagon, and that's because Notre Dame is going to head down the southern freeways there of Indiana down to West Lafayette for a big game this upcoming Saturday.
Where they'll probably tumble Purdue.
Yeah. Chris, I need you to email me. You've been a member for a month now. It's time to get your membership t-shirt. Email me at theohiopodcast@gmail.com. I need your mailing address and t-shirt size, Chris, and we will put that in the mail for you guys. Doreen's recruiting for us. She's like, the College Huddle needs a team up north. Blue Wolverine, help us out. So, and look who it is. Mika's with us. Hey, everyone, go Bucks. Again, I apologize beforehand for my voice. I'm going to try to get out of the way here now that the pleasantries are over. Chris, I'll start with you. Your initial reaction of Ohio State's big 56-0 shutout of a Western Michigan.
Well, you know, I think you said it best last week, Eric. You said, you know, the biggest improvement a team makes is usually between week two. I think we saw a massive improvement. I think the offensive line looked much better. Specifically, again, that right side of the line played extremely well. Fryer, I thought, had a great game. You know, I thought the wide receivers, for the most part, did better blocking downfield. You know, J.J. Smith, you know, if he doesn't throw that block there, Quinshon Judkins probably doesn't get his touchdown on the second touchdown run. You know, I think just Carnell Tate was about blocking well. They were, of course, what can you say about the performance that Smith had? Howard looked good, almost going for 300 in the first half. Everything was clicking. Guys, I think this is the beginning of things rolling for the Buckeyes. I really do. I think we're going to see another improvement as we head into the game versus Marshall. And, you know, all those boys out there in Oregon who've been trash talking there for coming into the season, they better strap up their boost laces because the Buckeyes are going to be ready. They've got something to prove. They got a chip on their shoulder. And, guys, they're just getting better and better each week.
Yeah, I was listening to an Oregon Space on Twitter during their game, just for something other than the, you know, tone deaf announcers they had in that game. Announcers were not great in that one, but and overall, I mean, it was just like, just win the game, move on, and hopefully nobody talks about us after this. Hopefully it was so late at night nobody saw it. Nobody's going to talk about us because these guys know that this team simply is not what it comes to with what they need to be. And I think that it just gave me more appreciation for Ryan Day and the way he's led this team, because a team like Oregon, who is one of, if not the most talented teams in the nation, they come out there, they have no leadership, they have very little fight when they get hit in the mouth, and they have players who are playing for themselves out there. It is not an unselfish culture over at Oregon. Now, can that change? Sure. You know, Dan Lanning, I think, can make that change. It's going to be hard to do it in the middle of the season, but I think at the very least he's going to make that change in the offseason. However, it's going to be really, really difficult for him, especially when you have the current set of guys on that team. But it really feels like Ryan Day has instilled that culture in these guys with, you know, the unselfish play and trying to win a championship, understanding the objective. I mean, all of that stuff, it's just night and day right now when you look at Oregon and Ohio State, and hopefully that continues on to when we face them on October 12th.
Hey, can I just do something I would never normally do here, Eric, before you get on your reaction? I want to go out and I just want to kind of quote, paraphrase Nick Saban a little bit. Doesn't matter how much money you spend if you don't spend it on the right guys. You know, so it doesn't matter what War Oregon went out there and spent. It really doesn't. Ohio State spent it on the right guys.
Yeah. All right. So my initial reaction, there were some things that I saw in the game that I really liked, but let me answer this question real fast. The D seemed to unlock more of the defensive playbook. That wasn't the one I thought was up. My bad. What was the question that was up here? This one, Bobby Mack. Is anyone else PO Texas jumped us in the AP poll? No, because at the end of the day, if you win the Big Ten, it doesn't matter, right?
That's right.
So it you just got to take care of business, what's in front of you. The AP poll has got about as much legitimacy as the College Huddle top 25 poll does now. And I can argue that the College Huddle top 25 poll might actually have more legitimacy.
Well, yeah, there's less bias. There's less bias.
Actually, there's more bias. It's just evenly dispersed finally. So yeah. So I don't really get all up in arms about the coaches poll or AP poll. You're right, Ryan. It's just something for us fans to look at now. It does not determine national champions at all anymore. All right. Some of the things that I saw in the game that I liked. We saw more of the playbook. First touchdown run had four tight ends in it. That's a strange set.
I like it.
I like to see what Chip's going to run off of that. Last week in November, maybe they'll run the football off that set on the goal line a few times, and then come against the team up north. It's going to be a nice little pass to a tight end somewhere off a little RPO. That was one thing I noticed. Offensive line played incredibly well. I thought they looked really good. They established the line of scrimmage. I even thought the two deep on the offensive line looked really good. Granted, it was later in the game after the Western Michigan defensive line had been beat up, after Western Michigan brought in some of their backups, etc. But in the past, the offensive line, when we brought in the two deep on the offensive line, it was ugly. It didn't look ugly yesterday. Austin Cervervale may have taken the largest step from week one to week two out of anybody on this roster. I tip the hat to him. Well done, young man. So those were some of the things that I noticed on the offensive side, along with the fact that JJ, a.k.a. JR Smith, dude, okay, that's what 22 miles per hour looks like. And then I was corrected. That's 22.9 miles per hour.
That's right.
So yeah, that's awesome. So that looked great. The things on defense, it was great to see Cody Cody Simon back, and he looked great. I thought the defense looked much more solid in the middle. It was nice to see them move Sonny back to the position that he spent all summer getting prepared for. So that was good. Arvel Reese continues to look like a bona fide stud. Okay. Yes. That guy is legit. And again, congratulations, tip of the hat to James Laurinaitis for sticking by his guns and saying, I'm going to play the guys who deserve to play. He could have easily said, I want to get CJ Hicks more snaps, but he said, no, I want to see Arvel play more. CJ had 12 snaps. Arvel Reese had 27, I believe. So double what CJ did. Also, this isn't me dogging Denzel Burke, because you all know I love Denzel Burke. But when Denzel Burke went out of the game, Jermaine Smith Jr. Came in. Did you guys notice? I didn't see a drop off anywhere.
No.
Nope.
And we were talking during the game, Eric, and that's exactly, you know, I said I'd be worried if it wasn't for the fact that we had him coming in, and he sure proved me right on that one.
Yeah. A walk on a QB saw the field before Aaron Nolan. That stinks. Actually, Lincoln Kienholz is not a walk on.
I think he's talking about Mason Max.
I think
Max.
He's talking about, yeah.
Mason Max got in the game?
I think yeah. He played running back.
he got a play there at the end of the game.
As running back?
I think so.
I guess I didn't notice that. Okay, stand corrected.
Lincoln Kienholz handed it off to number 16, and I was like, what in the world is going on? Who's number 16?
I know. I didn't catch that. All right. Well, I stand corrected. You are correct, Mika. You're right. That sucks. So, lots of good stuff there. So, beautiful. Love it. Fantastic. Now let's dive into the good stuff. You guys ready? Do you want to do Greg Card first, or do you want to do the Buckeye leaves?
Let's Greg Card first, guys.
Chris says Greg Card first, and since you want to do it first, you get to go first. You decide you want to do offense or defense.
I'll tell you what. Let's just lead off with offense.
Offense it is. Passing yards yesterday, 410 total passing yards, 273 yards on the ground. That's a total of 683 yards of offense yesterday. Chris, 9.5 yards per play. They also had 30 first downs. Here's what's crazy. Third down efficiency, they were only 3 of 10. Fourth down efficiency, 2 of 2. So 50% if you combine the two. Time of possession was 34 minutes and 36 seconds. And for a second straight week, no turnovers. What's your offensive grade?
I got to go with an A, Eric. I mean, they look good. Will Howard came out and completed his first 8 or 9 in a row, coming off of finishing out, I think, his last 5 in a row last week. You know, he looks like he's starting to get a rhythm with this offense. Both running backs, in fact, all three running backs look good. I mean, you look at it, we had three running backs. One had 9 and 2 more had 10 on the carries. All of them scored. I mean, wide receivers, they were getting the ball around to wide receivers, to tight ends. I mean, it was a clinic on how to play offense. I got to go with an A.
Yeah, I'm A as well. I mean, you saw 12 different guys catch footballs in this one. You saw 6 rushing touchdowns, which, by the way, if you want some fun, go check how many rushing touchdowns Tony Alford's guys have up north. I'll give you a hint. It is 0 to 7 that Carlos Lachlan's running backs have right now, which is absolutely hilarious to think about, but I digress. I mean, just absolute dominance on the offensive end of the field. The only time that they were stopped was when they stopped themselves.
Yes.
Will Howard stopped themselves by, you know, having a couple underthrown balls here and there. And let's be honest, like, in Chip Kelly's offense, it is imperative that you have somebody who makes very good decisions. And that is what Will Howard is doing. I had somebody on the Voice of College Football show that I was doing last night talking about how he doesn't see any difference between Kyle McCord and Will Howard. And I just think you're nuts if you hold that belief, because not only is Will Howard more mobile in the pocket, not only does he evade the rush better, but he also is a far better decision maker. He also brings a threat to the game with his legs and his ability to run. Nobody would respect Kyle McCord's ability to run, and so if he was out there, he would be having to throw it every single time. With the RPO system that Chip Kelly runs, you have a run pass option. It really should be called an RPOR, because you have a run pass option with a quarterback run as well, because if that quarterback has the ball in his hands, he's dangerous and you don't know if he could do anything with it too. So we saw that a couple times, the touchdown pass to Jeremiah Smith, the guys bit on the screen there and Jeremiah Smith ran the slant. We also saw it with an Emeka Ebuka catch on the outside where Will Howard was running with the ball and the corners ran up thinking Will Howard is going to run. Nope, he's going to flip it to Emeka Ebuka, which, by the way, if you go back and watch that play, watch Bryson Rogers walking downfield. Excellent, excellent job by Bryson Rogers. That's what's going to get him on the field at some point in the much bigger, you know, teams and stuff like that. He's not just going to be a guy who's coming in at the end of the game. If he blocks like that and gives that kind of effort, I do believe that Chip Kelly is gonna reward that. So, I mean, overall, if I could go higher, I guess A+. If I could go higher, I would, but I loved it. I thought, you know, this was exactly what we wanted to see coming off the week one.
You could go A+, absolutely.
Sure, A+.
Yeah, the only reason I didn't was because of a few penalties.
There were some penalties, and I went A-, and the reason being for my letter grade is, you mentioned it, Chris, there were some penalties, but there was that one third down, and I don't know if it's necessarily the team's fault, but it was the little out pass to the tight end on third and short, and we got stopped.
The one to Kaczmarek, yeah, that was terrible.
After we were literally running the ball down their throat that drive, you hand the ball off in that instance, right?
Chip got too cute. That's all it was.
Well, I don't mind it, because – fourth and one, look what he did with the Julian Sain touchdown pass, right? Yeah. So I don't mind that.
And that was awesome, by the way, because they finally let him throw the ball when they brought in the backups.
Yeah. So I went A-. I was a little bit harder of a grader than you guys were on offense. But let's move it over to the defensive side of the ball, where we have 71 yards passing allowed, only 28 yards rushing, for a total of 99 yards in the entire game. That was 2.1 yards per play, only 6 first downs allowed all game long, and I believe two or three of those came on one drive.
Yes.
They were 3 of 15 on third down. The Broncos didn't even attempt a fourth down attempt. They were only on the field for 25 minutes and 24 seconds. They did not create a turnover this week. However, there was a lot of basically just turnover on downs, you could just about say, because of how fast they were getting off the field on third down. So that being said, Chris, what was your defensive letter grade?
I went A again here. Now, everything should have pointed to A+, but again, you know, I mean, the fact they gave up less than 100 yards of offense, the fact that they, you know, went out there, and I mean, they were dominant. They pitched the shutout, but we still had some stupid mistakes. And with that, I'm going to point to specifically the play where we could have had either Denzel Burke, who was thrown out, or Caleb Downs thrown out, because both of those guys led with the drop their helmet when they went for that tackle. And then on that first drive, we had the same thing with help me out. Who was it? I messaged you right when it happened, Derek. We had somebody that did it that I thought we were going to get targeting on that one.
Jordan Hancock?
No, Jordan Hancock, thank you. Guys, that is – I mean, I understand being aggressive. That's discipline. You can't drop your helmet. And we nearly had it three times in that game, not to mention the fact that we had, you know, a couple of pass interference calls with Iggy, who was – I appreciate the aggressiveness, but he was getting a little too handsy at times. So the penalties is what kept me from an A+ on the defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to it's hard not to give an A plus when you have a shutout. I agree. I have to go with an A just because I do think there were a few things that could be cleaned up here and there. I mean, I'm not as upset with the dropping of the head stuff just because some of those they probably wouldn't have had an issue with possible targeting if the running backs and the receivers were not dropping their head as well. There needs to be some kind of punishment for these offensive players that are dropping their head and using their head as a battering ram against the defenders, because these defenders are trying to do the right thing and, you know, trying to, you know, put their head to the side or something like that. But when somebody else is dropping their head and hitting you, like, I mean, it's like free yards for them, right? I mean, you get the penalty on them, you have helmet to helmet contact, and you're immediately going to get something looked at, and you might get lucky and get some free yards.
But you know it's coming, so
you know, yeah, right. So I'm not, you know, saying that this is an excuse or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, I hope at some point they will also take a look at these offensive players and what they're doing, because not only is it dangerous to them, but it's dangerous to the defensive players as well. Other than that, I mean, we got really good pressure on the quarterback. Jack Sawyer got his sack in this one. Felt like the quarterback hardly had any time to throw, and when he did have time to throw, he had nowhere to throw it to. I felt like the linebackers are really solidifying themselves as no problem at all on this team. C.J. Hicks does seem to be going down the depth chart a little bit, just because he is kind of a, you know, blitzer kind of guy, and that's all he really seems to be, which I think is unfortunate. But I love the emergence of Arvell Reese. I love that Cody Simon is back. Sonny Styles, he looks like somebody who is ready to be that linebacker right away. Doesn't look like he learned the position in the offseason at all. Seems like he's really taken hold of it. So like Chris, I will give an A, but very close to an A plus with the shutout.
All right, I will give an A-plus because it makes me look good, and here's why. I said we would have 8 games where we would not give up a touchdown this season. That's game number 2. We're 2-for-2. That's 8 quarters without giving up a TD, and this one was a shutout. Give me an A-plus. I know we didn't get a turnover. We didn't cause a turnover, but it's hard to cause a turnover when you're going 3 and out so much. I mean, it's as good as a turnover, just about, right? I'm a stickler for saying in third and long situations, throw it deep. What's the worst that can happen? You throw an interception, it's as good as a punt, and you might get a pass interference.
Exactly.
So if you're preventing that from happening, it's almost like you're getting a turnover in a lot of ways. So even though it's not in the TO category, I think the defense looks championship level already. I understand it's been Akron and Western Michigan, but I watched that Western Michigan team go up and down the field on Wisconsin.
They went toe to toe with Wisconsin. That's right.
And they were missing a couple key guys. I understand that. This team has not been tested by a big team. They will be tested. 5 of the last 9 games on the schedule. You ready for this? Iowa. Pretty good.
Although they struggled with Iowa State.
Well, Kirk Ferentz came back and coached.
That's right.
The Ferentz family is holding Iowa back.
Yes.
I've been preaching it for years. I don't know why Iowa doesn't listen to this fat Buckeye. They think they hold him up in esteem, and I have no idea why. He's not good.
Anyways, they just like having coaches that are there forever.
Apparently. They play Iowa, Nebraska, Oregon, Penn State, and that team up north. All 5 are going to be top 25 teams. Iowa might slip out, but they're going to be back in. Don't you worry. 5 top 25 teams in the last 9 games of the regular season.
And can I say, as we enter week 3, Nebraska scares me more than any other team on the schedule.
Agree. I actually agree with you on that comment. There's a very good chance that Nebraska, when it's all said and done, might be the team we thought Oregon was.
And USC actually looked pretty decent as well.
And they're not on the schedule this year. So if we do play
Thank
USC,
God.
It's
it'll
because
be in the...
it'll be at Indy, and they will have also the second best record. So
I might be a little bit more concerned with Penn State just because it's at Penn State. I understand it's James Franklin and all that stuff that goes with it, but it is at Penn State. That's a tough road game to go.
But again,
and I mean, Nebraska, like, as good as they are, Dylan Raiola is still a freshman, guys. Like, we really think a freshman is going to go against the secondary, against this pass rush, and carve things up? I don't think so. I think Nebraska is a really good team, and I think
Matt
Rule's a really
good coach. I didn't say he would carve up this defense, but he might be the one of the better quarterbacks we face.
Didn't Penn State have to go blow for blow with Bowling Green this weekend?
But here's the thing. Happy Valley at noon is not Happy Valley under
Valley
the lights.
Valley at night, that's right.
And if this is going to be a big noon kickoff, it's advantage Ohio State.
Advantage Buckeyes, and it will be.
If this becomes a whiteout for some reason, whole different world we're talking about, right? So there you have it. That is our report card. To reiterate on offense, JR and Chris both gave an A. I was an A minus. On defense, JR and Chris both gave an A. I was an A plus. Did I convince you to go A plus on offense, JR? I can't remember.
No.
Yeah, I think I went A plus on offense.
I think you did. I okay. Stand corrected. There we go.
Well, you guys are both wrong.
Got it. okay, hot shot. Hot dog. All right. Let's move on while I still have a voice. To Buckeye Leaves. Okay, JR, we missed you last week for Buckeye Leafs. It got a little swirly right off the bat. First time of the year. The ghost of Aaron Brown showed up, and Chris was channeling his inner Aaron Brown and wanted to pick multiple guys for things.
Only on one.
By the way, Aaron Brown was doing a cooking video this week, I saw. So that was
that was a trip.
That was rather fun.
He was zesting women.
Yes. Yes, zesty. Aaron Brown is definitely zesty. Cut that up and send it to him. All right, here we go. JR, I'm going to let you go first, man. Let's start with the offense. Let's go offensive player of the game. Who you got?
Well, I wish I could pick more than one, but, you know, I'll stick with one, and I will agree with Ohio State's offensive player of the game in Quinshon Judkins. I felt like he had kind of a bounce back after being a little bit nervous, it seemed like, the first game, and then coming into this game, he had the big, huge run that should have stayed, but unfortunately the penalty brought it back, so I did feel for him there, but could have had three touchdowns. Heck, you know, two's okay as well, so love to see that, and love to see how hard he was working, how he's hitting those holes. So Quinshon Judkins, my offensive player of the game.
My turn? Okay. I'll tell you what. I'm going to go with the guy I've been saying is the best in the country all year. I'm going with J.J. Smith. 5 for 119, a touchdown. And your boy Q, as great as he was, doesn't get that second touchdown if J.J. didn't throw that block.
That could be true just about any run, though, if you really break it down. All right. I'm going to play Aaron Brown this week. I'm going with Will Howard and the offensive line. Will Howard's numbers were really good on Sunday, and he almost threw for 300 yards. He had a passing touchdown. He had to J.J. Smith. He had a rushing touchdown. And I remember some people, I forget, someone said it in the chat, maybe it was you, Chris, saying, you were talking with somebody who said that Will Howard is basically McCord. There is a huge difference. It's the feet of Will Howard and the just physical strength he has. I also think he's a little bit more of a mature of a human being. The odd sideline behavior of Kyle McCord Saturday, it's tell me if you guys agree with me. I feel
creepy.
Like he's faking.
Yeah.
He's faking leadership by the whole yelling and swearing on the sideline. Like, he never did any of that at Ohio State. So either he was so timid by all the alphas on the sideline at Ohio State, and he walks into Syracuse and they're so bad that he immediately thinks he's the alpha, or he's faking his behavior on the sideline. One of the two. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a little bit of both. I do. I think that he obviously was, I think, intimidated by the people he was surrounded with. And let's face it, he was looking over his shoulder. I don't think he ever felt 100% comfortable at Ohio State. I think he was looking over his shoulder the entire time. And, you know, when he decided to leave, he knew he had another reason to look over his shoulder. So I think that he feels now that he is the alpha. He is that one five-star guy there in the Syracuse locker room. So he can go out there and he can run his mouth. I think it's a little bit of both, Eric.
I don't know if it's fake or not. I just know that we never saw it at Ohio State. And if it is real, you know, God bless him, sure. But we never saw it at Ohio State. And to be honest, I don't think we were ever going to see it at Ohio State. Him and Ryan Day just didn't gel together. I think that he didn't display the type of leadership that Ryan Day wants his quarterback to display. And I think at the end of the day, he was not meant to be the quarterback for Ryan Day and his system and what he wants to do. I don't think he has a bad arm. I don't think that, you know, he can't make all these awesome throws in the field. He made very good throws at times for Ohio State that, you know, did make you kind of wow. But at the end of the day, he doesn't fit all that well with Ohio State. Hey, I do want to bring up, though, I was watching a Team Up North podcast after their game, and they had a segment of the show where they were talking about if only they had gotten Kyle McCord out of the transfer portal.
Oh, shoot. That would have been poetic, wouldn't it?
And is it wrong that I kind of wish that would have happened?
I wish that would have happened.
Oh, man. Would our defense have loved to have eaten on that all day long?
Yep.
So to finish this conversation on McCord, which is a little rabbit we're chasing here in the middle of our Buckeye Leaf segment, I'll never forget last year when he throws that interception in Ann Arbor and they go onto the sideline and he's sitting on the bench by himself. I'll never forget that. Some might say, well, he was just hitting the reset button, clearing his mind. He didn't want anybody around him.
He was pouting.
He had checked out mentally. He had already mentally lost that football game, and he's supposed to be the leader of your football team. So, no, I don't sit here and feel sorry one bit. And you mark my words. I've seen this. I'm old enough and have watched enough football to seen this repeat itself over and over again. Things are going good right now in Syracuse, New York. If and when they start to go bad, he will resort back to who he is. Okay? Unless he's turned over a new leaf and he's a new guy, he will resort back to who he is, and the Syracuse will be dealing with a bad L. Jar of happiness. McCord was a church mouse at Ohio State. He danced at Michigan, though. He did dance. Yeah, he danced before the pregame, and he cried during the game. And that's true, Bobby Mack. There was a little bit of a not – Marv did not defend that bad pass well enough. He did give up on that a little bit. But we're not going to go back and rehash that because yesterday up in Ann Arbor –
that could be a show in and of itself.
Yeah, no kidding. Things got a little swirly for that team up north. So we'll just agree to stay away from there for tonight. I went with Howard with my Buckeye Leaf for offensive player of the game, and I went with the offensive line. I don't know of anybody who has dogged that offensive line the last 2 years more than Chris and I have. And yesterday was the first – and again, I understand this is just Western Michigan. Do it against a top-ranked team. But before you can do it against Penn State, before you can do it against Nebraska, Iowa, Oregon, team up north, you first have to do it against Western Michigan. And they did. And by the way, the running schemes that Chip Kelly is running, where he is pulling the offensive
Everybody.
Line, the guards, the tackles and things.
The center was old, you know?
Hey, I actually saw Jimmy Simmons pull from the left and was the lead blocker around on the right. And he got there this week. Like, he wasn't late.
They are playing at another level right now.
And that run that Quinn, the second TD run Quinn had where it was to the left and the entire line shifted that way, it was like an avalanche, dude. Like, he didn't get touched until he was 15 yards deep, and by then it was too late. So offensive line gets the entire Buckeye leaf for me. All right, defensive player of the game.
Me, right? Okay. I mean, there's a lot of really deserving guys. I lean a little bit to Caleb Downs just because last week he did have three missed tackles, and he comes in this week, gets a sack, and was just very disruptive with everything he was doing in the game. I really enjoyed that. But I think I have to give it to the guy who came back and got a sack right away when he first came back, which is Cody Simon. It was excellent to see him out there. These linebackers are doing very, very well under James Laurinaitis, and I think that Cody Simon is proof in that. Just by himself, you have other guys that are proof, but Cody Simon by himself is just massive proof of James Laurinaitis and what he's doing with this team.
You know, there's so many guys you could go with. Cody Simon, I was kind of going back and forth between him and Jack Sawyer. But I think I got to agree with JR here. I'm going to go with Cody Simon as well. But easily could have gone with Jack. Could have gone with Caden McDonald, who had a huge game.
He did.
He was all over getting those hands up. Man, that guy's wingspan for a guy that – it's ridiculous.
We have some freaks on the defensive line. Like Edrick Houston does not look human. His arms are so long.
He's got a 7-foot wingspan or something like that. This head, ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with JR though. I gotta agree with Cody.
For all you who just showed up, a bunch of people who just showed up. I apologize for my voice tonight. Dealing with a cold this evening. For the first time this year, we're gonna all agree on the same one. First time, Cody Simon. He's going to get three Buckeye leaves from the OHIO podcast gang tonight. Give him three. Defensive player of the game. Welcome back, team captain and recipient of the Blocko jersey. And I'm telling you straight up, just like I said at the beginning of the show, that linebacker room looked and felt very different with him in there. All right, offensive play of the game, JR.
Oh, offensive play of the game. I definitely think it was the Jeremiah Smith touchdown pass at the beginning. They bit on the screen, but he went and took the slant and just took it for six. I think that was my favorite offensive play of the game.
You know, JR, I'd love to agree with you. And I think it probably was the best play of the game, and it set the tone for the whole game. But there was one play that I'm going to go with just because I truly loved it just a little bit more. And that was, how about saying to Christensen, the 55-yard, the 55-yard touchdown pass. The kid's the future. I love it. I'm going with that one. And Ryan Day didn't just hand the ball off when he had a backup quarterback in there.
Well, you do realize that one of the reasons why is because he's not calling the plays.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So there's that, too. I'm agreeing with JR. 70-yard TD reception, and here's why. He flat out smoked that defense, dude.
Oh, it was like, funny to watch them try to catch him from behind. That was hilarious.
Usually what we see this with running backs, right? Their freshman year, they burst into the backfield, and you're like, there they go, but then they get caught from behind. And as they get older, they develop more speed. And then they won't get caught from behind, right? He's got that speed already. He's got next level speed. So,
well, they said several times he's an NFL player as a freshman in college. He really is. And I agree with Brian on his comment, by the way. The 80-yard touchdown run would have been the play of the game had it not been called back for holding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Last one, the defensive play or hit of the game, JR.
Oh boy, this is the one I couldn't make up my mind on. I mean, there was just so many great
moments.
You want
me to go first? Because I have an obvious one.
I got a couple that, yeah.
Yeah, I honestly, this is going to be a little bit against the rules on a little bit of Aaron with the Buckeye Leaf, but just the, every single time that Western Michigan would run the ball and the defensive line would dominate and push the entire offensive line of Western Michigan back, it was fantastic to see. So you guys go with your more specific plays, but that's my just like
the
big,
defensive
big
player
one that's not
game.
Really an answer for you, but I just love seeing it every single time.
I literally just wrote it, the D-line against every Western Michigan run.
That's going to be fun for you to put on the graphic.
It fits. All right, I'll go next. I'm gonna go with Caleb Downs on that TFL. That dude was shot out of a cannon, and that guy's lucky he still has his legs attached to his hips. Because when he came in and took out his legs, that was impressive. His downfield speed from that safety position is scary good. Scary good. That's my defensive player hit of the game.
The hit for me, and there was a lot of them. But how about Sonny Styles on the running back? Was it late in the second quarter there? The running back came up and Sonny just, hit him so hard he lifted the guy off the ground, you know? Stood him up. I loved it.
So we'll call that Sonny Styles de-cleated running back.
Pretty much.
There we go. That'll explain it, right? Awesome. All right, guys. We're going to take a quick commercial break. JR's got to run. He's got to go to his show. JR, what's happening tonight over there on the Big Ten Huddle?
Oh, we're going to recap the full week. We'll try to touch on every single game, and then we'll talk about the stars and the duds. Got to make sure we get the duds in there because of the team up north and their dud performance, so we'll talk about that. And then we're also going to talk about playoff implications, Notre Dame losing, Michigan losing, all that kind of stuff, and seeing, you know, what does that mean for the Big Ten? Does the Big Ten get 2, 3, 4 teams in? What's that look like? So, thanks for having me over here, guys, and looking forward to talking Big Ten.
All right, so as soon as we're done here, y'all just jump on over to the Big Ten Huddle and go give JR a thumbs up and let him know that you love him. He appreciates that.
I appreciate it.
We'll see you. You'll see in a few minutes, JR. Thank you, buddy.
See you guys.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree, high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com.
All right. This is your turn, chat. We're going to turn it over to you guys for the remainder of this show. If you have a topic you would like to bring up or a question you would like to ask, now is the time to do it. I apologize for my voice. My head feels like it's about ready to explode. And here's the bad news, Chris. I have to get up extra early tomorrow because I have a 7 o'clock dental appointment for a crown.
That's pleasant. Hey, Eric, can I get the chat started and get them all fired up early?
Sure.
So a lot of people have been complaining about the targeting call. How targeting is the biggest bunch of BS in college football. And not that I completely disagree. The rules surrounding targeting are very subjective. But the fact is the rules exist. All the people who are complaining right now about the way that Denzel was ejected from the game, would you still be complaining had the same targeting call benefited Ohio State a few years ago during Georgia? Would you still be complaining about targeting?
Yeah.
Had that led to the national championship?
Yeah, I'd still complain about it.
I agree. I think it's a bad rule, but just because of the subjectivity of it. But the fact is, the rule is the rule. And
here's why. I think Eric Osbeck hits the nail on the head.
It does.
It's still unclear what is targeting to this day. And here's the thing. It wasn't even called on the field. They are purposely doing slow-mo on plays to look for targeting now. And it's bull crap. But here's the thing. Chris Spielman said it best. You tackle with your eyes. As long as you see what you're tackling, you never drop your head. But I agree with what JR was saying. At some point, you're going to have to say, what about the offensive players?
And I agree with that. I agree. And also, I agree with what I think Kenneth said it here a few minutes ago. Yeah, it was targeting on Marvin Harrison Jr. But you know what? By definition, what Denzel Burke did was targeting as well. Right or wrong, whether we agree with it or not, by the definition of the rule, it was targeting.
Well, remember Sean Wade against Clemson?
Yes.
Bullcrap.
Yeah.
How could that be targeting, but what, you know, the one in the Georgia game wasn't? So,
I agree.
You got to take the head out of it. Eventually, guys, this is what's going to happen. This whole skull cap thing they're wearing in fall camp and in practices, get ready for that to become a norm in games. They're going to make them wear them in games, which stinks because our helmet's so beautiful. And it's going to take away the beautiful look of the Ohio State helmet. But I'm telling you, that's the move they're going to make. let's see here. There was something I wanted to bring up. There was a question or comment. Let me see. Now I've lost it. It was about MAC schools. Let's see. I went too far. Chat, you're awesome tonight.
You mean the FCS Division One?
No, it was MAC. Here it is from.
No, I'm saying the MAC is basically FCS Division One.
Do you guys think MAC schools become nothing but farming systems for Power Five?
Eventually.
Well,
Power Four.
The Power Four, yeah. So here's what's going on, which is unique. We've talked about it. I don't know how many people in the chat watched our Indiana preview. We brought it up with them, and we've talked about it a little bit. The great experiment happening over in Bloomington, Indiana. Kurt Cignetti, who's now the head coach of Indiana, was the head coach of James Madison. When he left James Madison for Bloomington, Indiana, he brought with him all his best players from James Madison, and he also hand-plucked from Power 5 schools about five or six other guys who he felt, in his words, would be a Group of Five All-Star team. And we're finding out if a Group of Five All-Star team can compete with Power 4 schools. It's amazing. So far against other group of five schools, it's working. Indiana blew out a small school, 77 to whatever, but they haven't played anybody. They're going to. And so it's going to be fascinating to see if that works. But to answer your question, Mika, yes and no, because here's what's happening. There is a transition that takes place in the group of five schools every single year now with NIL and the transfer portal. Guys who go to big schools who don't play after their first 2 to 3 years are jumping in the portal and going down to the group of five schools, while studs from the group of five schools who have developed and have shown that they are ready for the next step are moving up. So there's this transition that happens. My nephew, who just played in his first game in Division II, got a full ride scholarship to Indianapolis University. He had his first game in college. he was being recruited by Akron. Akron did not have a scholarship for him, and their reasoning was simply, we need to see how many Power 5 school kids jump in the portal who want to come here. In years past, he would have been recruited and developed by Akron. Instead, they're waiting for kids from Indiana, and they're waiting for kids from Purdue who didn't get the chance to play, who are now upperclassmen, who were high three-star, low four-star kids to now go to their school. And so it's like a trade that's happening. We'll take the kids you don't want, and we'll give you the kids that want to go to you who are too good for who we have now. So that's kind of what's happening. I hope that answers your question. You have anything to add to that, Chris?
No, I agree with you 100%. But hey, getting back to the targeting thing, see if this sounds familiar to you, Eric. Did you see Donald's comment?
Yeah, pull it up. Kinda.
I
will have very soon some really cool news on a sponsor that is actually in line with that. It's not a skull cap though.
Right. But
it's pretty cool. That's cool.
I remember we've talked about this.
You ain't far off of it, Donald. You are not far. Technology is really catching up with the sport really fast. Emily says that Guardian cap will evolve and become better. I hope so, because the last thing I want to see is lose Buckeye leaves.
Well, and the last thing I want to see is a bunch of guys out there running like the little Prince Mushroom or whatever off the Mario game.
Yeah. Steely, talking about your about targeting. Can you imagine if that was a playoff game and not Western Michigan? We would have been pissed. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Dude. But here's thing. It wasn't. And when it happened, I went, all right,
yeah.
Jermaine Matthews Jr., baby. More playing time, more snaps. And again, we saw no drop-off. So
right. We
have three starting corners, three of them.
At least.
Yeah, at least. And Aaron Scott Jr., dude.
He looks awful good.
He looks good. He looks good. All right. Let's see. What else we want to talk about tonight? How about Brian's answer to that, too? When is the offensive player going to be held responsible for this?
Well, and we talked about that. We all think that should be happening. I mean, if the offensive player is the first to drop his head to initiate the contact, he's the one who should receive the penalty. Will we see that? I don't know. It seems to me that
it's so hard. Here's the thing. It's so hard to call that call because it is human nature when you're about to get hit to tense up.
Protect your chest.
And you immediately drop your head when you do that. So it's going to be so hard to call that.
Here's the thing too, Eric. You know, let's call it what it is. The sport is all about one thing ultimately, especially in the eyes of the NCAA, and that's money.
Yeah.
Offense is what makes the money. Call it what it is. The offense is what people pay to see. Now, myself, I would rather see a 3-0 great defensive battle. But you know what? That's not what most people want. They want the flashiness. They want the offense. So just like the NFL, the offensive players are always going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Oh, let's see.
Let's put skirts on them quarterbacks now.
Yes, right? Let's see. Trying to get through this chat here. I wish there was a down.
Oh, Eric's got a good one here.
Pull it up, man, because I'm behind.
How about if we talk about Will Howard in the play action, man? He is so good at faking that handoff, hiding that ball. There was a few times last night where I think the camera got fooled. You know, he's right. The RPO is going to be so effective. The play action is going to be so effective with Will Howard because he is so good at hiding that ball, disguising what he's doing. You know, and that's a huge weapon. And that is the fact that he is an experienced quarterback who's been playing in that type of system maybe not to that the extent of the Chip Kelly offense, but he's been playing in an RPO type system for so long that he's just developed that ability. He is. He's excellent at that.
I like what Alex says here. His pocket awareness is really good.
It's amazing.
It's next level. It's NFL good. I don't know about you, Chris. I see a young Ben Roethlisberger in him, and I know as a Cleveland fan, you hate that. As a Cincinnati Bengals fan, I hate it.
As an Ohio State fan, I love it.
Yeah, and as an Ohio high school fan, you know, yeah, the dude was from, what, Findlay, I believe?
Findlay.
Played at Miami of Ohio. He was a MAC quarterback who went to the NFL and had a long, successful career for the Steelers. He was so hard to bring down. I don't know how many times you'd hit the guy and he'd spin out of the tackle. You cannot bring him down. One guy, it's really difficult.
One man's not bringing him down unless you've got a stud linebacker or a stud defensive lineman that gets to him quick. No one has a chance of getting him down. If he gets in motion and if he can get his momentum going, one guy is not going to bring this guy down. He is tough. He is smart. He's agile. He's everything you want in an RPO quarterback.
Yeah. There was an RPO where he could have handed it off or keep it. He kept it, and then he threw
the ball. Yes. And that was one of the Mecca's catches, I think, wasn't it?
I think so. And I was like, dude, that's so hard to stop, man. Like, there's at some point, you're just, as a defensive coordinator, you just throw your hands up in the air and be like,
oh, no, it was the one that I think J.J. Smith got the first down on. It was his second bigger catch, actually. I think he did it. Either way, it was great.
Yeah. yeah, Brian Oberst, that's true. 1,700 yards on offense and keeping the opposing offense under 100
yards.
That's
some NCAA 25 stuff there.
No, that's but what level was that? It was like rookie? Rookie level. When you could just pile on your opponent, there's nothing they could do to stop you. So that's next level stuff, man. But I as far as the Chip Kelly offense, what we're seeing, I told you all, dude, the pre-snap movement, the pulling of offensive line. When we maybe a couple times a game last year, we would see one offensive lineman actually pull and lead block on a run.
Yeah. Now they're always moving.
Every play.
Yeah.
It is. And you don't know where they're going. That's the
thing. Or who it's going to be.
There's so much misdirection that as a defender, you're pulling your hair out. You have no idea where the ball's going to go. If we could have had this, and trust me, I know you all know this and you don't want me to say it, but if we could have had this the last 3 years,
we'd have at least two national championships.
We have at least two natties right now.
If we had Chip calling the plays with CJ as the quarterback, we get at least one with him, and I'm not so sure what we don't get one. Man, I don't know, that Alabama team that Justin ran into.
Well, that was more than 3 years ago, though.
Yeah, that was more than three. But
You would have won at least in 2022 with CJ. That team almost beat Georgia. And would have beaten TCU, but dude, the play
might have been two there, yeah.
And if this offensive line can continue to establish itself, just like they did in 2014, there's nothing Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, or Georgia are going to be able to do to stop us from scoring, man.
No.
And controlling the football. And so just like Mello likes to remind everybody, 2024 Natty season. That's what we're watching, man. That's what we're watching.
And I'll tell you what. You said nobody's going to be able to stop us from scoring. And I've got the confidence that I believe that this Ohio State defense can keep a Georgia team, no matter how good it is. I think they can keep them to three touchdowns or less.
Yeah, they'll bid, but I don't think they'll break.
And I think Georgia's the only team that has any possibility of getting three touchdowns against this Ohio State.
I was so excited, Chris, when Bo Jackson committed to Ohio State because of the just the potential of t-shirt ideas.
This is going to be one. We're gonna get a Tecmo Bowl Bo Jackson shirt with no Ohio State jersey on it. I'm telling you.
So Bobby Mack brings up, you know, Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl. Well, I want to bring up the Bo Jackson in Northeast Ohio who committed to Ohio State. In the first 3 weeks of the Ohio high school athletic season and high school football season, I don't think Bo Jackson has played a second half yet.
Yeah.
And he has like 700 yards rushing already. This kid is amazing. Go watch Bo Jackson highlights. This kid is going to be an absolute stud in this offense. And we're going to lose not one but two running backs this year after the end of the season.
Don't Travion be surprised if this guy, yeah.
And Quinshon are both going to go to the NFL. I think they both get picked up in the first round of the NFL draft. And, you know, well, we got Peoples, right, and Sam Williams-Dixon. Do not be surprised.
Peoples looks good.
Yeah, he does. And you know what? Sam Williams-Dixon fly.
Yeah.
He's fast. But I'm telling you right now, Bo Jackson might be RB1 this year.
Yeah.
He might be. So I know a lot of people don't like to look ahead once you get into the season. Recruiting's more of an off-season thing. But go check out Bo Jackson's film, dude. That guy can absolutely ball. He is fantastic. So glad he's going to be a Buckeye. And speaking on that note, let's talk about what is happening to the running back room in Ann Arbor. So excited. Where's all the trolls at tonight, man? Where are they when I want to have some fun?
Who is their featured back again, Eric?
Well, he was on the cover of NCAA 25, and he became John Cena because
you can't see him.
You can't see him. He's nowhere to be found. Dude, what you doing up there, Tony Alford? Messing up the running back room,
he's
huh?
He's doing exactly what he did at Ohio State. He's not doing a daggone thing.
They suck. That's what.
Let's talk about their featured back, who threw two games. Donovan Edwards, Matt, our NCAA cover boy, 19 carries for 68 yards, 3.6 yards per carry, and no touchdowns. I love it. EA wants a refund. I love it. But I mean that oh, they are so lucky that they got Tony Alford, man. I mean,
The great recruiting and development he did at Ohio State, dude. Let's just talk about that for a second. I don't think Tony Alford truly developed anybody. He does not get credit for developing Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke was already here when he got here, right? And he was already who he was when he got here.
Yes.
The one guy he recruited, brought here, and he can lay to claim as being someone he developed is Dobbins.
J.K. And honestly, I've said it before, I'll say it again, Eric. I think that was just a case of talent wins out. I don't think it was so much that he was developed. I think that he just had so much natural ability that he was just able to perform. I really don't think Alford had a whole lot to do with it.
He played as a freshman, dude. Game one. I was at that game. I was in Bloomington, Indiana. It was a Thursday night. And, who was the returning running back?
Mike Weber.
And he was hurt. And Dobbins had to play, and he looked good, you know, like, but he had to play day one. And when a freshman's playing day one, I don't know how much credit you get as a developer. I think you get more credit as a recruiter for that than a developer.
But let's just throw this out there, because I pulled up the stats on the entire Michigan running back room.
Okay.
Through two games, 57 carries, 228 yards through two games, 4 yards per carry, no touchdowns. Their longest run has been, they've had one run of 21 yards. They've had no other run over 12 yards.
Someone said it in the chat earlier. That in their mind has a lot to do with the offensive line. Yeah. You don't replace five starters and think it's going to be okay. I don't care how good they are, right?
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen in big-time college football.
And let's not remember, the guy who was coaching up that offensive line is now the head coach.
Right. And then so he's not spending all his time in that room.
Correct.
And number two, I told everybody this at the beginning of the season. Teams are going to load the box because they don't respect your passing game.
How can you not respect Davis Warren?
They don't have a passing game. Texas exploited. Texas literally gave the next 10 opponents against the team up north the blueprint on how to beat them. You load the box, force them to pass, get off the field, and you beat them with explosive plays in the passing game.
Will Howard's first half yesterday was nearly as good as Michigan's entire quarterback play for the season. Their combined quarterback play, 38 of 60 for 325. They do have 3 touchdowns, but they also have 3 interceptions. Will Howard in one half has outplayed Michigan quarterbacks for their first 8 quarters.
Yeah. Yeah. So on the flip side, let's look at what's going on in Columbus, Ohio in the running back room. Did you see Coach Locke's pregame speech at the Skull Session?
Yeah. Let me just tell you something too. I don't know if you caught it during the game, Eric. Coach Locke on that play where Julian Sand threw that 55-yard pass on the 4th and 1, Coach Locke looked irritated with Ryan Day because I think Coach Locke wanted one of his boys to run the rock.
Sure.
If you go back and watch the replay, and I'm sure you've got it saved on your YouTube TV, just go back to that play because he's got this look on his face of like total astonishment at what the play call was.
Alex, if I had a voice tonight, I would totally do it. But for those who didn't see it, go look it up. He literally calls on Buckeye Nation to be so loud that when they sing Hang On Sloopy between the 3rd and 4th quarter,
yes,
he goes, I want those who are up I-75 North to hear from us and know that we're coming for them with, what do you say, blood and I forget what else it was, but vinegar, I don't know, something. But it was Coach Locke he's such a motivator, dude. Such a motivator. Love that guy, man. All right. Anything else in the chat, guys, before we head out of here? I got about all I could give you today. That's about all I had, man. it's all about all my voice is gonna be able to do to hold up. We'll have for those of you who didn't see at the beginning of the video, we will have the grade card and the Buckeye leaves cut up in the separate videos for y'all tomorrow. Please go over to our website, theohiopodcast.com. There you will find all kinds of great articles from the past couple days about the game and different things there, as well as links and the store and the merch. So go check that out. And that's then,
right. Because if you don't want a cold like Eric, you better get yourself one of these hoodies right here.
Yeah, I actually wore my OHO podcast hoodie on Saturday.
Did you?
Yeah, it was nice. First time I've worn it. It was nice. So, yeah. Thank you, Bradley. I will do my best, man. I will let my immune system do its thing. And then hopefully tomorrow morning they'll give me some good drugs at the dentist and I won't feel a thing because I hate the dentist. I firmly believe that the throne in the center of hell is a dentist chair. I believe that. with every ounce of my spiritual being. I believe that.
The Stallions' experiment as a head coach in high school football did not go so well Friday night.
Well, you saw where he was Saturday, don't you? He was in Ann Arbor at Portnoy's little dog and pony show that he does.
Yeah.
And he was brought in you know what I'm going
to
do?
I've got words, but we're going to have to take it off of Family Friendly and put it behind the screen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what we're going to do?
What's that?
If we win a natty, I'm going to get a hat and I'm going to go buy some roses. And we're going to go up to Ann Arbor.
We're going to drive to Ann Arbor.
Park outside the stadium. Do his picture. And I'm going to tag him in it and go, are we doing this right? Is this how you do this? You know, just kind of troll him a little bit.
Can I throw one of my pairs of sunglasses in there just so he knows?
Sure.
All right.
With a pair of sunglasses with a blue yep. light on it.
So Bobby Mack says we should get Portnoy on the show.
Yeah, right. That guy.
That one would have to go behind the wall, Eric, because
That guy would hate me. He would hate me.
I would love you. Yeah. I would love to let him hate on us.
Yeah. I will purposely get a piece. I will get a pie for that picture/video, Bobby Mack, and we will do. It will be like, man, pizza in Ann Arbor's trash.
Well,
all right, one last story, guys. On the way out about this is one of my favorite stories. So my wife and I, we had a pop-up camper. It was our first camper we had. And we decided we were going to go camping in upstate up north by the Sleeping Bear Sand Dunes. Beautiful area, by the way.
Upper Peninsula stuff, yeah. That's
nice. And so we're driving north. You know, we're on 23, turns into 75. You go past Toledo, and then you cross the state line. And not too far past the state line, it's what, 60 miles or something? Not less than that, I think, is Ann Arbor. And so there's signs, says Ann Arbor, next three exits or whatever. But the water treatment plant for Ann Arbor is right on, like, 75.
Yeah. That's where the old expression, west to you step in, or north to you smell it, west to you step in, it comes from.
Yeah, okay. So my stepson's in the back seat of the truck. He's asleep. We have the windows down. It's a beautiful summer day. And we're driving. We're driving by Ann Arbor. He wakes up. And he goes,
what is that smell?
He smells. He goes, ew, what is that smell? And I go, son, what you smell is Ann Arbor. That is a true statement. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. I was like, that's why you know Michigan stinks. And he's like, yeah, they do. They really stink. It smells bad.
Speaking of Ann Arbor, Eric, can we just give one more Buckeye leaf this week?
Sure, why not?
To Coach Urban Meyer, who made sure
to
throw it out there one more time that he was undefeated against the scum.
Yeah. Shoot. So he got invited to do a sports management class.
Yeah.
As the special guest at the University of Dub. Rolls into the class, walking down the steps to the front of the class. All the students are kind of like, you got to be kidding me. This guy unzips his jacket. There's his shirt. 7-0. Has the M crossed out. You know what? Love him or hate him.
He is a Buckeye through and through. Love him or hate him.
Love him or hate him. 7-0. He absolutely loves Ohio and trashed that team up north, man. Yes, Googs. That's right, man. You can smell it. She's a smelly lady, that Ann Arbor. 135 people watching right now to end the show. Thank you so much. 101 people on the X, man. That platform kills it for us, dude.
It does.
It absolutely really does. Kills it for us. So we're going to be investing more into that platform, because that is definitely one of the biggest platforms we have to grow our show on, and we appreciate that, everybody. All right, hit the thumbs up, like the show. We really do appreciate that. It does help the show. Make sure that you share the show if you have the opportunity. Tuesday night at 8:15 p.m., the Buckeye Boys will be back to do their live show with you guys in the chat. Thursday, I'll be doing the call-in show again, I believe, unless Chris does it. This is, even though it is a bye week for us, we don't have any previews. Chris will be still doing our normal thing this week, so Thursday might be a little bit more of a relaxed show. And then we'll be back again Sunday evening to probably talk more about college football in a whole. We'll have the opportunity to, now that we're 3 weeks in, to kind of readjust and reset. Maybe we'll do some power rankings and some top 25 talk, as well as college football predictions. We'll look at our predictions and see where we're at. My Notre Dame prediction, not so good. Not so good. They didn't go undefeated. So I was wrong about
that. And I love it.
All right, guys. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much. Be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH. Sing Carmen High with all your heart. Till next time, OH.
I owe.
Go check out JR's show, The Big Ten Huddle, right now. He's live. Go check it out. Good night, everybody.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.